I'm Eric Warista.
This is Noam Shore.
And you're listening to The Last Team on Turf, a New England Revolution fan podcast. Well, Noam, the Revs climbed out of the basement of the Supporter Shield standings this week with a 1-0 win against Charlotte. The question is, do you feel any better about the team's prospects after that game?
You know, we've been so negative for a long time this season, given the recent slide in the league and just an absolute beatdown in the Champions Cup, which we'll get to in a little bit. So I would like to be excited about their first win, and I'd like to think that there's some positive signs. Yes, I guess they did win. They scored their maximum goals that they scored in a game at one. But much of the game against Charlotte, to me, felt like they've been playing the whole season. In fact, I think they were lucky to come away with a win and not a loss. There was some opening sequences where Charlotte had an open look at goal due to a Ravas error. He got pickpocketed, and the Charlotte player just missed the goal entirely. And towards the end of the game, there were some really good chances and elsewhere, too, to score, if not get in front. And kind of saw a similar pattern of the Revs not connecting on their passes as well as they should. We had Carlos Hill, who scored a really nice goal, beautiful goal. I have to give him all the credit. He also got a yellow card for complaining. The same kind of issues that we've seen with really an amazing starting 11, I think, in the league, just not playing to their potential.
Right. Watching that game, there wasn't anything that looked particularly different than they looked in the first few weeks of the season.
Right.
And I know some commentators have talked about they were a little more vertical. They played a little faster, but you still saw a number of bad turnovers in their own end of the field and missed connections in the final third. And as you mentioned, the Ravas miscue where basically, you know, he's a goalkeeper dribbling and got turned over and was unlucky, or was lucky not to get scored on. And it didn't seem like that different a performance than the one they turned in the prior Wednesday where they got blown out at home by Club America 4-0. The main difference seemed to be the quality of the opposition. Charlotte had a hard time taking advantage of the Revs' miscues, where Club America was really excellent in punishing them when they made mistakes.
Right, yeah, Charlotte had their chances and weren't able to put the ball in the back of the net, and perhaps a similar team to the Revs in that regard. I did note that the Revs had a little bit more spark during the game. I felt there was something there, but again, the ability to get good shots on goal. I don't think there were shots on goal in the Charlotte game. I could be wrong until the goal sequence where there was a nice give and go with Carlos Hill to his brother Nacho Hill and a big rebound off the goalie. And Carlos Hill just threaded a beautiful shot, curling shot past several defenders and the goalie. And after that, there really weren't that many more scoring sequences, I think, for the Revolution. There certainly seemed that Charlotte had the upper hand.
That's right. They had some nice sequences where they moved the ball, but the Revs didn't create a lot of direct scoring chances. And it'll be interesting to see now with the Champions League essentially over. We'll see. The Revs play tonight in a couple hours, the second leg, but they need to win 5-0. Basically to move on, or 5-1 would do it also.
Yeah.
In Azteca Stadium, they need to win 5-1. So, you
know, 5-1 in Azteca. I'm not going to put a bet on that one.
Yeah, we're sort of writing that off. I guess what I wanted to say is, like, now that is essentially over, it's going to be interesting to see what the lineup looks like, because there's been a lot of lineup rotation these first few weeks with all these games crowded into the beginning of the season. And it's noteworthy that even with all that crowding, there are some guys we haven't seen much of. We haven't seen Noel Buck much lately. Tommy McNamara, who was injured a lot of last year, but I thought was back, has made only a couple of appearances. Jonathan Mensah has played a little bit, but not that much. And you would think in a crowded schedule where we're going to need to rotate the lineup, some guys who might have gotten minutes didn't get them, and there maybe wasn't as much roster rotation as there could have been.
Yeah, and there's certainly, I think, from a player's perspective, to play in Azteca, that's an honor and an exciting opportunity to play against Club America again. I mean, they're an impressive team. Like Club America just completely outclassed the Revolution. Very strong team. Even the manager, Revs manager, Caleb Porter, said that the entire starting lineup could be DPs, including their bench players, because they had a number of injuries, would be DPs in MLS. And they were very good. I think it was also just an exciting environment. There was a big crowd there, many people wearing yellow in support of Club America. At one point in the second half, I think when victory was most assured, there was a big flare lighting event. The smoke was so thick that, at least on TV, you couldn't even see that half of the field. It was just completely covered in yellow smoke.
Right.
It was there was an atmosphere at Gillette that I'm just not used to seeing. So credit to the club, credit to the fans. Hopefully the Revs can find a way to bring them out to their games as well.
Right, and as they bring them out to the stadium, maybe that's a good chance to talk about the Revs stadium plans, which once again are in the news. As you know, we are longtime skeptics of a stadium plan, but I thought what was interesting here is how publicly the process is playing out this time. There's a bill in the Massachusetts State Senate that's moving through the approval process, and the Revs released some renderings of the stadium.
Right.
And I thought maybe just what was your reaction to where things stand and what you've seen so far?
Yeah, so first of all, just the news of the Revs stadium is in the history of the stadium saga, which we often talk about, as you mentioned, Eric, really enormous news. This is the farthest that a stadium discussion has ever gotten, to a public hearing in the State House about a new stadium to be built in the vicinity of Boston and Everett here. And that's a huge deal. It's never gotten that far in the many, 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 many years that plans have been talked about, that the Revolution have talked about, that everyone has wished for a stadium. So credit to the Revolution, credit to the city of Everett, moving this forward, very exciting.
It's playing out in public too, which is something it's never done before. There'd always just be rumors and rumblings and, you know, Quincy, Somerville, all these other places.
Yeah.
And then one day, you know, someone would just come out and say it's not happening. And then it's playing out while the season's going on and not when season ticket renewals are.
Oh, that's a good point. It's out of cycle with the right. Season ticket renewal effort. So perhaps that's even another wild card, or sort of another moment that reflects the importance of the last week's events around this. So, you know, we have this exciting event happening and a public hearing, and it's all public, as you say, and they release render drawings as you mentioned about the area. So right now, haven't seen, there's an old power plant that I don't think is operational, sitting on the water there, and it would be replaced with this brand new sort of park area with a stadium. And usually when you see new stadium renditions, they're at night, or maybe in the evening, kind of glowing with the light coming from within the stadium, and like spotlights or floodlights lighting up the whole thing. It has this aura, a glow, and beautiful architecture. And to something that you look at it, and you're like, wow, we have to have the stadium. And the Revs stadium, in this case, is like a box sitting by the side of the river. And maybe, yeah, one could imagine it's going to be a nice pitch inside and grass. You know, something we talk about with the podcast, The Last Team on Turf. But I was just surprised at the lack of architectural significance of something like this being launched to the public for the first time. And you look at it, and my first thought was that it looked like one of those tee boxes that people are now throwing out of the stands at games. It was just like, maybe that was like the motif, like something that's on the water. But it didn't stand out. There was one comment on Twitter that it looked like a box of Kleenex. I just, like, after all these years, and we get to this point, like you mentioned, it's finally public. There was like no wow factor about it. And maybe that was by design. You know, take the sort of the pizzazz out of it, let it be a calm hearing, and they can work on the design later. It seems like a missed opportunity.
It is odd. As you say, usually when you get these renderings, you get like a panoramic 360 degree view of the exterior, and then they zoom in and kind of show you what it looks like at field level.
Yeah, like a drone flying in and seeing all the
right. And now this the only distinguishing characteristic of this one, besides just kind of a rectangular box, is that it includes covered seats. So
yes, that's huge. That would be very nice.
That's huge, especially, you know, the MLS season kicks off in late February, essentially, and the Revs have a number of home games in March and April, and also in October and November, when the weather can be pretty suspect, you know, for an outdoor game.
Right. Maybe in Qatar they had air conditioning. Maybe they have heating in this one.
Maybe there's heating. So let's hope there's more to come, and that this is just like a placeholder, because I think, you know, it could be the case that to get this through the Senate, what they need to do is convince people that the exterior aesthetics, and not the aesthetics of the building so much as the aesthetics around the stadium, so the right. park on the water, and because you look at the pictures they released, one is just sort of like a wide shot of the stadium, and these are on boston.com if people want to Google it, but there's one that's kind of a wide shot of the stadium from the air, but you can't see inside it. There's one that's a wide shot from water level, where they photoshopped in like two people in a canoe and someone in a speedboat and a couple of sailboats, but you don't get any sense of what's happening on the land other than maybe just like the relationship of the stadium to the Encore Casino. And then a third one that shows sort of like a waterfront promenade maybe and a couple of boats. But again, you couldn't even tell there's a stadium there. Maybe that's the idea.
Maybe it would have been presumptive to arrive at the hearing with fully fleshed out designs and really fancy looking, and we're going to come in, we're going to wow them. It's a given. We're going to build this awesome thing. They just wanted to build something a little bit more homely, and it looks like it'll be perfectly serviceable, and maybe it's not the final design, but maybe it fit the purpose for a first public hearing that looked a little bit subdued in some ways, and maybe that was the idea.
Right. I'm always curious with these projects how far below street level the field will be. Will you enter at mezzanine level and then walk down and walk up, so that, because there's ways to make these stadiums so they don't stick that far out of the ground. But they're so close to the water. I don't know if they'll be able to do that here. But in any case, exciting that the stadium's moving forward. It seems to be moving forward in the daylight and not solely behind the scenes. Obviously, a lot of work happens behind the scenes, but it seems to be a fairly public process with a specific location at a not particularly suspect time of year, although the Revs' next home game is in front of, we think, 65 or 66,000 fans as Inter Miami and Lionel Messi come to town. So maybe this timing does actually line up somewhat suspiciously. I can't shake my skepticism.
Right. Well, the Gillette Stadium is almost sold out for the Miami game. Maybe that will be a reason to make this new stadium even bigger than it is, have some more fans. Clearly the Revolution can support a large crowd. It's an exciting few weeks coming up in terms of Revs, Messi, new stadium.
All right, well, we'll be back to follow up.
Sounds good. Thanks for listening.
We thank you for listening to The Last Team on Turf, a New England Revolution fan podcast with Eric Warriston and Noam Shore. We hope you enjoyed the show and can't wait to hear from you. The show was hosted, produced, and edited by Eric Warista and Noam Shore, and all opinions expressed are their own. Incidental music written, arranged, and performed by Eric Warista. Rev's crowd clips appear courtesy of the New England Revolution.